Well, today, Palm Sunday marks the beginning of Holy Week, what we call Holy Week, a week which, since the very earliest times, Christians have marked out as something special, something to be celebrated, something to enable us to enter into and increase our experience of and understanding of this final week of Jesus's life. And it's a week where nowadays we reenact some of those things that Jesus did during that week, simply so that our understanding of them can grow that little bit more. So here we are on Palm Sunday, day one of the week, and we see Jesus arriving in Jerusalem. It's the climax of these 3 years of ministry. And here in Matthew's Gospel, we hear how the crowds turn out to welcome him. Now, of course, up to this point, very often, Jesus has gone about his work, often in secret, not wanting others to tell people about him, not wanting others to share when they've been healed or when they've experienced miracles. But now it's different. Jesus comes and he wants everyone to know what he's about. So he sends his disciples off to get a donkey for him, and then he rides those final couple of miles from Bethphage into Jerusalem. And as he does so, frankly, he made a bit of a spectacle of himself, because Jesus, the one we call the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, comes on a donkey. But this was no accident, because I think what Jesus was trying to do was not just to make a grand entrance, but to say something about who he was, something about what he'd come to do, to give us a foretaste of what lay ahead during this week. So what can we see in Jesus? And I think both what Matthew said to us and what Sue read from Paul's letter to the Philippians both carry a similar message. And the first thing I think is clear is that Jesus comes as the humble king, the humble king. Now, usually a ruler or a great soldier who comes to town to demonstrate their importance would come on a magnificent horse, a great stallion. They'd come riding in, and they'd want everyone to know who they are. Just like, you know, if we see a great royal procession, we see really magnificent beasts. And it's that sort of thing, wanting to stand out, to emphasize their importance. But that's not what Jesus does. He comes on a donkey. He doesn't want to or need to boast. He doesn't want outward shows of pomp. Rather, he downplays all of that so that people focus on him rather than the trappings that go around him. In our reading from Philippians, Paul said that Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death. You see, when Jesus came to earth, he came as fully God and fully man. We know that he was born by the Holy Spirit, but born of human flesh. But what he did, and Paul makes clear, is, if you like, he laid aside the divine advantages that he had. He set aside his equality with God. He set aside those special powers that he had. He left those behind in heaven. He came to earth as a man, choosing to live a fully human life like you and me, facing the same choices that we face, facing the same temptations that we face. But he overcame them because he constantly called on the power of God through the Holy Spirit to enable him to do so. Despite his humility in coming as a human being, he was completely reliant on God for the things that he did. And that same power, the power that we'll be celebrating next Sunday, that caused him to rise from death to life, is the same power that God makes available to you and to me, to do the things that he did, not from a place of strength, not from a place of power, but from a place of weakness and a place of humility. We're called to follow in his humble footsteps, but to act in the way that he did. So that's the first thing. He's the humble king. Second thing we see in both readings is that Jesus is Lord. Despite his humility, the crowds recognize him and they cry out to him, Hosanna. Now, Hosanna, it is a praise word, but literally translated, it means save us, rescue us. It's a cry for help. And what they see in Jesus is someone who's come to transform their situations. Matthew tells us at the end of that reading that Sue read to us, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The whole city had been so impacted by his arrival that they knew something was going on. They didn't quite know what it was, but he's got people talking. Paul tells us in Philippians that God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Jesus came, he laid aside his divine advantages, but God exalted him to the highest place. Despite all that he went through in Holy Week, despite the humiliations, despite the beatings, despite his crucifixion, despite his death, the Bible is in no doubt that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, the Lord of all creation, the Lord who today sits at the Father's right hand, the Lord who was willing to die a painful death for each one of us here. So when we cry out, Hosanna, or as we will do next week, Alleluia, we're crying out to this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to Jesus, the one who died and rose and is exalted, the one who will come and help each one of us. And because of that, Jesus is worthy of our worship. The crowds on that first Palm Sunday were in no doubt. They treated him with extra special attention. They recognized and sang out. They treated him like royalty. He was the object of their worship and their praise. And Paul tells us that that's exactly how it should be. The one who God has given the highest name is the one who, Paul says, every knee should bow to the name of Jesus in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is the one who should be worshipped. Jesus is the only one who we can approach, by whom we can approach the Father. And therefore it's right that we worship him whenever we meet together. Jesus, you see, is God revealed in human flesh. The one who was present when God created the world. The one who came to earth as a baby. The one who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. The one who would die and rise again. Jesus is the one who we are called to worship all the time, but most especially as we begin this journey through Holy Week. And this week, this coming week, is an ideal time to seek more of Jesus, more of this humble King who is Lord of all and who is worthy of our worship. Lent may have passed you by. You may think, well, where did those 5 weeks of good intentions, of things that I said I was going to do, that maybe I slipped by? But Holy Week is another time to say, okay, well, I'm going to make an effort this week. It's called holy because we remember the holiest things that Jesus did for us. And it's a time for us to re-enter into those things. And we have lots going on here to help us to do so. And I don't suggest for a moment that all of us should do everything, but I do want to encourage you this morning to be a part of this journey, because you will find your experience of Jesus, your understanding of what he's done for you, will be so much deeper if you do. All that we're doing is set out in the bulletin. Lots of prayer times Monday through to Wednesday. Then on Thursday, Maundy Thursday, we share a meal together and have communion and a short time of prayer afterwards. And if you want to be a part of that, please sign the list today. At the moment, there's not many people signed up. But if you want to come, please sign that list. Then on Good Friday, in the morning, there's a walk of witness. In the afternoon, our main act of worship here at 2 o'clock. Aside from Easter Day, it's probably the most important day. And unless we observe Good Friday and make sense of Good Friday, Easter actually loses a lot of its significance. And then, of course, next Sunday, the most important day of the Christian year, Easter Day, when we gather at 5:30 in the morning to begin the celebration. I think that actually those disciples went to the tomb early in the morning, we read, while it was still dark, because they just wanted to be there. And that's how I always feel on Easter Day, and I hope you do too. I know lots of you do. Just want to be here to greet the risen King. Important here that there's no 9 o'clock here next Sunday, because we've had 5:30 breakfast and then our 10:30 celebration. And next Sunday at 10:30 we'll be baptising Isabel and Joshua Devereaux. If all of that sounds too much, I just want to encourage, perhaps this week, Good Friday and Easter Day, make those your priority. 2 days which changed the course of human history. 2 days when we can come and worship the humble King who is Lord of all. Whatever you do, make this week special. Make this week a week where you honour Jesus, the one who came to Jerusalem, that together we might find him on the way of the cross and meet him in the tomb.